There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tommy Tiernan podcast. Today, I want to talk about community. The first community you belong to is the community of yourself. All the different little components that make you up. They're all different, you know. You've different bones and different parts of your body. You've different soft, rubbery, blubbery, bleedy bits. You have the internals and the externals, and you have your thoughts, and all these different things combine and they make you. The community of yourself. When you have meetings in your skull to decide what you might get up to or changes you'd like to make, and there are different factions, and I suppose if you get a disease in your body, it's kind of like there's an insurrection going on someplace. But all communities are a fiction. I was talking to this monk, this really old American monk who went to Thailand when he was 24 or 25, and he joined the Theravadins, and they're it's a branch of Buddhism. They shave off their hair, they can't be alone with women, they never touch money, and they're not allowed to feed themselves. But he liked it, and he said to me, by the way, just as a qualifier here, when I say these things that, like, say that Bob Dylan told me one time, or I remember a look Jessica Lange gave me, what I mean is these weren't one-on-one encounters that you might usually associate with those types of sentences. You know, Jesus told me yesterday. What I mean by all those things is that Bob Dylan could be talking in an interview and he could say, you know, well, the whole purpose of life is to keep changing character and express your character and find out all the different characters you can be. Now, I would then relate that to you by saying, I was talking to Bob Dylan yesterday and I think he's a little bit out of it. So, anyway, this particular monk said to me, he said, Tom, it's not that consciousness exists in people. It is that we exist in consciousness. So the consciousness isn't contained within the walls of your head, between your two ears. Consciousness is the whole universe. And that really made sense to me. Just sometimes you hear ideas and they sound very clever, but this one just seems to have a fluency to it. It makes sense. And I was talking to a professor of psychology recently, and he said to me, yeah, that there's something in that they've... I mean, I can't tell you what he said because I can't remember, but it was something along the lines of, you could be on to something there, Tom. And I think when I remember when my mother died, sometimes you can have an experience that is too big for your body. And that's, I think, what people mean when they say something happens and they're devastated. So the walls of their skull are blown off and the individual disappears, devastated. Sometimes grief can do it to you. The feeling of grief is too big for your body. I think that's what happened at my mother's funeral. Was just, it felt like the sides of me head came off and I no longer existed. I was just like a note, a musical note that was being played by this sad song. And this friend of mine sent me a text and he said, "Sorry to hear about your mam, ... It blows you wide open." So this notion of that we exist in consciousness rather than it being there being 7 billion individual consciousnesses in the world, and whatever consciousness you might presume to be in a dog or an elephant or a tree or a wall, is that everything is held in the one consciousness. And there's something about that idea that just, it fucking, there's a truth in it that you couldn't explain. But what that then suggests to me is that this notion of the community of your body is a fiction. Yes, there's a part where your body stops and your body starts, but this thing of your body being separate from everything else around it is not true. We live in a world of pure imagination. I'm after robbing that from a song. Pure imagination that I can't think of. But anyway, imagination is to human beings what water is to fish. It's how we move through the world. Everything we do is an act of imagination. Family is another community that I belong to. But it's an idea. It's an idea. Two people living together with children. That's an idea. And there are certain rules to this idea. And there are certain habits. All living in the same house. And mom and dad sleep together unless dad snores an awful lot, and then dad has to go downstairs and sleep by himself, but he comes back up the following morning full of a sexual tension that is actually quite enjoyable. It's almost worth it. It's almost worth sleeping alone to come upstairs and the both of you to be flying for the morning ride. But family has, because family is just an idea, like all children are a biological fact. But your family is a notion, and all notions are vulnerable. People can leave their families. You can't leave a fact. Just because you move to America, that doesn't mean your children who are in Spiddle aren't still your children. I'm a Liverpool supporter, you know, and the fiction of this was brought home to me quite recently. Christmas time, I'm not a big dope smoker. It never really suited me. There are enough ghosts between me ears. I don't need to be encouraging, don't need to be summoning more of them from the swamp of my unconscious. So I tend to stay away from the terrifying smoky drugs. But this hillbilly bohemian friend of mine got me they made, herself and her partner made this kind of a hash drink, you know, kind of marijuana wine, some sort of a cannabis yolk you could drink. So, it being Christmas, and to celebrate the good news, to celebrate the news that we are not alone in the universe and we are all destined for an eternal paradise, symbolized in the birth of a baby in a stable. To celebrate this fact, sure, I did not take a few shots of the hash wine. And then Man United were playing on the telly. I don't know who they were playing, but I went up to watch them. And I realised I loved them, that I loved Man United. And I said, I'm never drinking this fucking stuff again. The consequences I cannot cope with. But it blew apart this fiction of me being a Liverpool supporter. I live in Barna, which is on the edge of the Connemara Reservation. And I experienced the community of Barna during the GAA season. And it's a wonderful thing. It could be a parish that maybe is 5 or 6 miles wide and 4 or 5 miles long. And there's something wonderful about getting to know the people here and, you know, to work together to defeat our enemies. Every parish has enemies. And that's part of the delight of being in a parish. You bond together under the stress of trying to beat Salthill, Knocknacarra, Spittle and Moycullen. That's what defines you. But I could have easily moved to another. I have lived in other parishes all my life. So this parish of Barna, this kind of collegiate feeling we have here, is kind of an invention. It's such an enjoyable one, though. I belong to the community of comedians. And we're a group we don't really see. As you get older, you don't really see too much of one another. The more successful you become as a comic, the less you see of other comedians. We all started off together way back in the mid to late 90s. And stand-up was just beginning to thrive in Ireland. There was 5 or 6 comedy clubs in Dublin. There was a club in Belfast, a club in Derry. There was a Galway and Cork. There was tours. We did tours that were sponsored by Carol's Cigarettes. We'd play colleges, play all the RTCs, and we'd arrive with 4,000 packets of fags that we'd give out in between jokes. And we moved as a group, and there could have been maybe 60 of us all together, and we all knew one another, and we all knew one another's material. We all performed in the same clubs on the same nights as one another. And then after 3 or 4 years, someone is starting to get a bit more attention than somebody else. And you're always watching to see the quality of other people's work. And some of it was fucking astounding. But it was the seeing the brilliance of other people and then you wondering, well, how can I bring something new to the table? How can I be different from all those? What's the point in me doing stand-up if I'm the same as these other 4 fellas? You know, I need to. And the pressure of that forced you into a kind of an originality that made you kind of unique. And that's what the opposite of that then happens. If you become well known, we've all seen that thing of going to see a well-known comedian, really famous, well-known comedian. And he's actually shit. He's got the more famous he's become, the worse he's become. Because he's not surrounded by other comedians. He's travelling by himself. He's only working off what the crowd are telling him. Sure, the crowd love him. So he's not being challenged enough. I see all my old pals now. I see them at comedy festivals. And to me, it feels like we are a community of assassins. You know, we're each working our own particular territory, alone, at night, sleeping in cars and shooting businessmen. So the festivals are great. I belong to a community, of course, of chat show hosts. And we never fucking meet. I mean, that, you'd think we would, wouldn't you? And even though I only have a small little chat show that only runs for a few weeks every year, you'd think there'd be some sort of a conference I'd be invited to with Letterman and Jimmy Fallon and Ryan Tuberty and Graham Norton and Jonathan Ross and Trevor Noah. You'd think I'd be, you know, come on in, Tom, sit down there, have a seat, and we'll have a chat about chat. I belong to a community of people with very high cholesterol. Now, the Tiernan cholesterol is genetic. It's fuck all to do with cake. There's something about the way Tiernans are put together that is it fat around one of the arteries, the arteries. So one of them tubes coming out of your heart. I think the Tiernans have too many fatty deposits there. Like there was Tiernans dying of high cholesterol. There was Tiernans getting heart attack during the famine. And there was no cake in the country at all. And we were dropping dead from cream and stuff like that. Anyway. But like the chat show host, the community of high cholesterol people never get to meet. I belong to a community of balding men. And this is where I feel most of the work needs to be done. Who are the great bald men of our culture? I don't mean the people who shave their heads, like Pep Guardiola and Jason Statham. Is that his name? And Richie Sadler. And these people, fine looking men, well-intentioned, good men, but scared to embrace how shockingly Irish and middle-aged they would look if they just let the fucking... Now that's Pep Guardiola's big fear. I don't want to look like a barman from Navan in the 1970s. And that's what he would look like if he just let the hair grow. I'm letting my hair grow. My ambition in life has always been to have a haircut that nobody else has. So it's... I have a beautiful bald spot, like my uncle's and like my father. A head of hair that I can only be delighted to inherit. A beautiful bald spot, and then just a kind of an island of hair, as my daughter said to me at the front. Just an island of hair, self-sufficient, entirely unconnected. Of course, I build little follicle bridges from the little island at the front out to the islands at the side, but... It's just there all by its own. As my daughter said to me, "Do you have a roundabout?" And that's what it is. But there are very few. Again, it's all to do with magazines, and I feel a lot of the pain that women say they felt with the tyranny of the image and the way that in women's magazines. Just as a short aside here, not getting into anything big, but just as a short little aside, women's magazines. Mainly run by women, photographs of, they've said they felt the tyranny of the slim image. And how are they supposed to live up to it when the reality is that most of our bodies kind of wobble? But I feel some of their pain because there are very few balding men being sold as sex symbols. Well, we have to identify them. Who are they first? Well, I mean, Bill Murray. I mean, isn't he a ride? And he had the big bald spot on him. And Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson had a big bald spot as well. We haven't seen too much of Jack recently. God be good to him and all that. God be good to him. He's not dead, but just, you know, God be good to him. So I belong to that community, you know. I feel as if it's my job to try and make this kind of Hibernian baldness sexy again. It's hardly likely to succeed. I'd need the women to get on board. I couldn't just declare myself to be sexy without some sort of affirmation from the ladies. I belong to a community, and another community of the mind now, really, and of memory. The community of fellas that I went to school with, The community of fellas and girls that I was in primary school with, St. Oliver Plunkett's Primary School in Navan. And I have a photograph, the sixth class photograph taken, you know. And it's a strange thing to look at. Once you know somebody as a child, I think for the rest of both of your lives, you can see the goodness in them. If one of my classmates ended up in prison for doing something awful, I would be able to look at that photo and see the goodness in him. Friends of mine from St. Oliver Plunkett's school in Navan didn't make it. Friends of mine disappeared, and it's a shocking thing to look at a photograph of a young fella aged 11 with the beautiful head of hair in him and freckles and innocence and know that at some stage, impossible to predict by looking at him when he was 11, but at some stage it got too much for him and he went away. But you can see the goodness in him. In all of them. And I think about them all. And I have nothing but great memories and great love for them. I belong to the tribe of Irishness. And it's amazing. Even though Irishness is a fiction, because countries were invented. Nationality is something that we all agreed to believe in. The place where we live is just a rock surrounded by water. It has no name. In a strange way, it also has no history or no future. It's just there. But we have come up with this thing of Irishness, like everybody from every other part of the world has come up with this notion of wherever it is they're from as well. And being Irish is, even though it's a fiction, it's a fucking delight. I remember once being in London, walking around Soho. And Soho is full of life, lots of gay clubs, lots of theatres, lots of fancy arts bars. Just it's a real buzz of a community over there. And there was a wino walking around, and he had an Irish accent. And for a moment, it was just the two of us together against the rest of them. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of like me and this fella had more in common. I had more in common with him than I had with anybody else in the street. We had a shared, imagined history. And as I'm sure has happened to many people, you know, many people who are on holiday or have good jobs in San Francisco or New York, Melbourne or Glasgow, if you're walking along and you hear somebody begging in an Irish accent, you stop, don't you? And where are you from? And how'd you end up over here? And there's a few quid for you. That's part of the rules, I think, of being Irish. So community, to me, even though it's an invention, it can be a marvellous one. And I also have to try and remember that Community is where you're from, but it's not where you're going to. So, that's it, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. The Irish for community, by the way, muinteras, colúder, locht, or pubble. See you next time. God bless. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.